Don't get so hung up on, should I have debt in retirement or should I not have debt in retirement? Better question is, if I've got some debt, is it good debt or is it bad debt? If it's good debt, keep it. It makes sense to have it. If it's bad debt, let's find a way, make a plan, build a plan around it to get rid of it.
Welcome to Your Retirement Blueprint, a podcast by 210 Financial. No matter who you are or where you are in life, having a plan for your finances matters. And that's what this show is all about. In each episode, we want to help you gain an understanding of where you are now and where you want to go from here. Hey, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Your Retirement Blueprint Podcast. My name is Kendall Stahl alongside Mr. Phil Cooper. How are you?
Good. Kendall, how are you?
I'm good. Good. This is the show that empowers you to create a life of financial confidence so that you can live your best life today. Really excited to talk about our topic today.
Yeah, I am too.
Today, we're going to talk about debt in retirement.
Good topic. Yeah, we're seeing a lot more. This is coming up a lot more. And I think the reason is a lot of people are starting to retire and the baby boomers are getting there. And this is a very good hot topic. So yeah, good.
It is. So I got some statistics for you because I know you're definitely a statistic guy.
Bring them on.
So debt in retirement, you know, the big question is a lot of people have is it even okay to have debt in retirement? So we should probably touch on that. Okay. Different kinds of debt in retirement and how to handle that. So maybe we'll just start there. What do you think about debt in retirement?
Well, I think that it's okay under certain circumstances. I don't think retirement has anything to do with it. I think we got to just kind of cover the broad topic of, is it okay to even have any debt, whether we're going into retirement with it or not. So maybe this is a little ahead of the game, but is it okay to have retirement debt? Yeah, it is, as long as there's a plan behind it. If you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you've heard us say over and over and over, you have to have a plan no matter the situation. So we know that there are people going into retirement, or maybe you're already into retirement, and you say, but I have car payments, but I have a house payment, but I have whatever. So let's maybe go down the road of delineating between the two and say, is there good debts and is there bad debts? Should we have some? Does it make sense to use somebody else's money? And the answer is going to be absolutely. If we can build a plan around that debt, then it's not a bad thing to have some.
Yeah. I think, so what is good debt and bad debt, right? I mean, I think you're probably going to agree with me. Credit card debt is typically going to be bad debt almost every time, right? And so I have met with a couple of people lately that have had some credit card debt, right? And I think that's one of the things you want out of your life in retirement.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a lot of people, and we hear it all the time, people say all the time, I just want to get all of my debts paid off as I walk into retirement. And we can make a really strong mathematical case that shows there may be their interest. I'm going to make up some numbers here. Let's say they've got a mortgage and they're paying what used to be really low rates. Maybe it was like, say, 3%, 4% of their mortgage, but your investments maybe are gaining more than that.
Right.
My advice is don't pay that loan off. Let your money keep working for you. You're actually getting wealthier every year in that scenario by utilizing somebody else's money. Now, if the reverse is true and your investments are getting less than what you're paying to the bank, then maybe we need to strongly consider paying
it off. Yeah, you got credit card debt that you're paying 20-some percent interest.
Get rid of it. Write a check.
It may make sense to take some money out of retirement.
Absolutely.
Things like that to get rid of it. Real life example, though, of what you were just saying, I think tomorrow, sometime this week, I'm literally meeting with a couple in their 40s. Mm-hmm. So pretty early to, well, I better be careful what I say here. It's not early.
It's earlier than their peers. How's that?
Earlier than their peers.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Are in here planning for retirement. And they're going to be selling business, so they're going to get a little bit of a small windfall of cash.
Right.
And they're like, man, I just want to pay our house off and be done with it.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know what their mortgage is. It's probably, you know, $1,000, $1,500 a month, something like that. And this sale of the business that they've got would have enough cash to pay off that home loan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty conservative, and they're like, man, I just want to get
rid of that. Yeah, they want to go on.
But their home loan is at, I think they said 2.45% or something like that. Yeah, right?
Wow, yeah.
And so you got to think about, especially when you're 40 and you've got years to go and years to save your retirement, right? If you got a chunk of money and you invested it today and it grew at something more than whatever your loan interest rate on your home loan is, which in this case was 2 point something, right? You're going to win the game. And really that's a lot of it is because we got a big chunk of money up front that is growing right away. Whereas if you pay the house off, that money's gone.
Yeah.
And sure, you can start saving that house payment now, but now you only got, in their case, $1,000 a month growing, and then another thousand. Whereas keep paying the bank the 2% and get all that money growing right out of the gate, getting, you know.
I would agree with you on that, Ken. Let me give a different illustration that might really make the viewers go, wow, what did you just say there? Let's just make up some stuff and let's pretend for a moment that their mortgage was $100,000 balance, okay?
Okay.
They've got $100,000. They could write a check. They sold a business. They've got $100,000. They could go into the bank and write that check and pay off that loan. Seems like a very fun thing to do, first of all, I don't have that thing hanging over my head. But there's a rule that we try to get all of our clients to follow or to understand called the rule of 72. And it just means this: you take whatever rate of return you can get on your money, divide it into 72, and it tells you how quickly your money is going to double in value. So let's just run this through. They're 40. Let's say they're 40 years old.
Yep.
They want to retire at 60 years old.
Yep.
So let's also say that over that period of time, maybe their investments are going to garner a rate of return of 7%. All right, 7% into 72 says every 10 years, their money is going to double in value.
Yep.
All right, so if you take $100,000 in the next 20 years, it's going to be worth how much?
It's going to double twice,
It's going to be $400,000. So here's the question I would ask that client. Are you willing to walk into the bank today and write a $400,000 check to pay off a $100,000 house? And they're going to be like, absolutely not. That's what you just did. That's what you just did. Pay the normal monthly payment. Let your money grow. And when you get to 60 years old, in that scenario, you're going to have $400,000 and a paid for house.
Yeah.
It's going to make all the sense in the world.
And I think to take this another step further, the couple that we were just talking about, it was a sale of a business. So there's maybe some tax there, but once they have the money and they're able to go pay off the house, it's really not a taxable event, essentially.
No, it's a tax-free event.
It's very common for you or I or anyone to meet with someone that's looking at retirement and they're like, man, I got $50,000 left on that home loan and I'm just going to pay it off.
Lop it off, yeah.
Right? Maybe there's a cash flow reason why that needs to be done, right? If they got a really big payment and their income's not going to be quite as much, maybe there's a reason. But if they don't have access to cash, meaning all their money's tied up in like retirement plans or IRAs, 401ks, different things like that, right? Not only do they probably have a low interest rate on their loan, but now in order to get cash to pay that off,
They've lost liquidity. Yeah, right. I agree with all that. And the other thing is that once that asset is gone, once your dollars are out of your account and you paid the banker, if you ever need cash, what do you have to do? Go back in and refinance that house to get cash out and potentially at a much higher rate. I'm just never a fan of those kind of scenarios.
I agree with that. The point I was trying to make as well was that it might cost them 12, 15, 20% in taxes to go pay off a loan that you're paying the bank 2.5%.
I agree, because a lot of those dollars, like Kendall mentioned, if it's 401k or IRA dollars, those are just dollars that have never yet been taxed. And so you want to reach in and pull $100,000 out. You got to pull a lot more than $100,000 out. So there again, it's costing you a lot more money in taxes. You got to have taxes to pay off and you're going to lose the principal that you had that was earning money. It could be a massive, massive swing towards a net worth balance or a net worth deficiency balance in the future if you do that.
Let's dive into good debt versus bad debt a little bit more, just so we're crystal clear.
Yeah.
Right? So I think our opinion is good debt is something maybe backed by real estate potentially, right? It's got low interest
something
rates.
That's appreciating in value.
Yep. And locked in for a long time. What's your take on car loans?
I'm okay with car loans, especially in what I call the modern era of finance. And what I mean by that is back in the day, way before your day, it was not uncommon for a car loan to have a 15% rate interest rate or an 18% interest rate. My goodness, that's going to hurt you bad. But today, manufacturers are offering 0%, 1.9, 2.0, whatever, really low rates. I'm a huge fan of using somebody else's money again at really low rates, even if it means I'm in retirement and I still am paying a car loan. That's okay. I can make one of my investments kick out enough money to me every month to pay the car loan.
Give yourself a raise, basically.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Keep the money invested.
Exactly right. Okay. And keep you in a lower tax bracket because we're taking out small chunks of money from the investment, keeping you in a low tax bracket to pay Mr. Banker at a low interest rate. It works so well that way.
Yeah. So bad debt, I think credit cards or just high interest rate loans probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe just to be frank here, I get nervous when I'm working with someone that has credit card debt. Generally speaking, I'm sure there are caveats to this,
mm-hmm.
right? But generally speaking, that can sometimes mean maybe they don't manage.
It's a spending problem.
It's a spending problem. Right? Yeah. I was trying to say, I was trying to come up with a nice way to say it. They don't manage
the money.
They
spend too much money. Right? Yeah.
And so that's bad debt. And so, you know, what do you do with someone that's got some of that bad debt? They're walking into retirement. They don't have time to pay that debt off from earnings. They want to take a chunk of money out of their retirement savings, 401ks, IRAs, whatever it is, and pay that credit card debt off. Mm-hmm. Does that make you nervous? Because what, in my mind, what happens there is we pay that off and we haven't fixed any spending habits.
Right.
And all of a sudden, we're going right back.
Wow. I wish I could tell you how many times I probably have seen that in my career, my 25 plus year career, where it felt so good. I've got the money in my 401k and I've got, you know, $50,000 of credit card debt. I pulled my $50,000 out. Actually, I pulled probably $60,000 out, paid my taxes. So that $50,000 credit card just now cost me $60,000. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But I went and I paid it off. Now I am debt free. And then I didn't change my mindset. I still like to spend money. And so I take that paid off credit card. And what's the first thing you do? You go book your vacation.
Yeah.
Then you go buy that new wardrobe. And then you do this. Pretty soon your $50,000, $60,000, your 401k is gone. And you've got credit cards racked back up. We've got to have budget and we've got to have accountability. That's where folks like us come in. We can check with them every so often and say, you know, how are you doing on spending?
I think it's important before, like, we go and do that with someone or tell someone to do that, to have a pretty frank conversation. Like, hey,
heart to heart, yeah.
This will work. We can get rid of this credit card debt or whatever debt it is, right? But like, what we can't, if we get back to this point,
you're diminishing your options in the future. So once that cash is gone, it's gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to be very careful with that. It's really critical to develop plan. Get a plan. But part of that plan is budget.
Yeah.
How much should I be spending every month allocated to what? House payments or rent payments or lights or groceries. These are the things I know I have to buy.
Right.
Then there's miscellaneous. Okay, yeah. let's live in that miscellaneous and say, I'm going to give myself, and you can, whatever's right for you, give myself $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 a month of fun money.
Yep.
Live within that. Write down every expense, because I can tell you, you know, we went through an exercise with some clients here recently where I challenged them to write down every expense they had for just 30 days.
Okay.
They came back with two aha moments. Number one, how hard it was.
Yeah.
Because you drop $5 at Starbucks, then you drive over there and you get yourself a...
The amount of transactions.
Oh, it's ridiculous. They showed me their little book and it's just like everything was, even including the soda at the soda machine, you know, and pretty soon they're like, look at the fat in our budget.
Right.
They were spending so much on out to eats, it blew their mind. So then they were able to go, okay, let's pare this back. We can still have a wonderful lifestyle, but all of that drain that was coming was fixed. So my challenge would be anybody that's listening going, I wonder if I'm okay, wonder if I'm overspending, take that 30-day challenge and write down everything you're spending. And first of all, you'll come up with probably the same two answers. I can't believe how much I'm spending.
Yes.
And how many times I go and do that and how hard it is to capture them.
You're like, you're just hitting everything on the head. I'm literally doing this myself right now. It's painful.
It is. It is. We live in a society that's easy.
Yes.
You run to a ball game and it's too late to cook supper. So you swing through a drive through, then you do this, you do that. Pretty soon it's like, there goes $50. There goes $30. There goes $100. And you add that together over a 30-day period. It's a lot of money.
I think one of the things to piggyback on what you said, like figuring out your budget, right? In retirement, especially for folks that, you know, if you've done a good job saving for retirement, most times that means you're a pretty good saver.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they've saved their way up this mountain and they're pretty frugal a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, here's my budget. It's, you know, not a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And I think challenging folks to think through, what is the fun budget? What is the traveling budget, right? Because mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have a W-2 paycheck coming in every week or every 2 weeks, however you get paid, right? When you retire. And so those semi-annual expenses to go to Europe, I don't know, wherever it is you travel, mm-hmm. you know, need to be factored in as well.
They do. And the other thing that's gone out of their life is a 40-hour a week buffer zone that allowed them not to run out and spend money. It's called a job.
Yeah.
And when that's gone, I've got 40 hours a week I can do whatever I want to do now. And part of that is I'm going to run to the grocery store, and I'm going to run to the sporting goods store, and I'm going to drive to the car lot for the 11th time this week. And pretty soon that 40-hour spending buffer zone is gone. You got to be careful with that.
I think one quick way to think about, like, just like quick and dirty way to think about what you spend in retirement, what you spend, not necessarily in retirement, just spend on a daily basis, is you get a net paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. And that gets dumped into your bank account. Mm-hmm. And typically it's automatic now. It just goes there. And you're like thinking right now, what is that? Right? Because you haven't seen a paycheck in a while. It just shows up at the bank account and you have money. So I think one real quick way is just, what's your net paycheck? Right? And then two things. Is your savings account going up? If it is, it means you're living on less than what you're making. Right? Mm-hmm. Is there no savings account? Mm-hmm. Right? And the checking account kind of just stays even. Then you're spending what you're bringing in. Mm-hmm. Right. If you got credit card debt, now you're spending more than what you're bringing in. So it's a real quick way to get just like quick and dirty. Like, here's what I think I need to live on.
I agree. Well, if folks are listening, they've been through our process, you will recognize the fact that the very first question that we always sit down and ask somebody is, what's your cash position looking like? This is after you've been had a plan put together for you, and we're meeting you on a regular basis. The reason we want to know how much cash you have on hand is that's our barometer to know if that cash is climbing, you're doing really, really good on the budget. Yeah. If that cash is going the other way, you're not living within the budget that you thought you were living within. So take Kendall's challenge there too and say, how much do I have in savings? And then try to see that number at least hold steady or climb on a monthly basis. And that's your barometer to know if you're overspending or underspending.
Here's what I think. Here's what I feel like I see a lot of, right? People think that they live on X amount. So say they bring in $5,000 a month at whatever job, right? And they think they live on $3,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And they may on a monthly basis.
Where's that $2,000 going?
Where's the $2,000 going?
Yeah.
Usually it's going to go to the vacation and to the thing. So really, you're not living in a year's worth of budget,
you're living on the whole thing. Exactly. You're living on the whole thing. The thing people forget about, Christmas comes around every year.
Yeah.
Birthdays come around every year. Vacation comes around every year. And we don't stick those in our real estate taxes. They don't put those in their budget. Those come out of savings accounts. So you're really living on more than probably what you think you're living on.
Okay. So let's recap.
All right.
Good debt, bad debt. Mm-hmm. Good debt can be okay to have in retirement, but make sure there's a plan for it.
You bet.
And there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Right? Put some thought into it. Figure out what your budget is, right? To, if you do pay off some of those debts, make sure you don't get back in debt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just continue to be able to live on your normal cash flow. Mm-hmm. What else?
Monitor your cash position. That's your barometer to know whether you're overspending, underspending. What I mean by that is look in your savings account. What do I normally have in there? And then you try to get that to climb. How do you get it to climb? Underspend. If it's always going down the other direction and you're always trying to feed that savings account from someplace else, you're overspending. So watch those things. But don't get so hung up on, should I have debt in retirement or should I not have debt in retirement? Better question is, if I've got some debt, is it good debt or is it bad debt? If it's good debt, keep it. It makes sense to have it. If it's bad debt, let's find a way, make a plan, build a plan around it to get rid of it.
All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having me. This is good.
All righty. We'll see you guys next week on Your Retirement Blueprint Podcast. Have a good day.
Thanks for watching.
Thank you for listening to Your Retirement Blueprint. We hope today's episode helped you gain a better grasp of your finances and clarified a possible path forward in your life. This show is brought to you by 210 Financial, and our team is passionate about helping individuals and families achieve their ideal retirements. If you'd like to talk more about your financial plan, we'd love to talk to you. You can learn more and schedule a call at 210financial.com. Again, that's www.210financial.com. We can't wait to see you right back here next time on this show.